Before we read tonight, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to open this your precious word. Our Father, tonight we pray for your leadership and your blessing. And Lord, that our hearts might be open to your word and to your direction. I pray for the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. For without you, O God, we are most miserable men. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at shepherding, I use that term tonight. We've talked about leadership through the month of February, parts of January, and kind of dovetailed this into what I've labeled last week and this week, shepherding. We'll be looking directly at the position of pastor or pastoring, a part of the doctrine that a church needs to know and understand is the role of the pastor. I believe that's important because there's so many misconceptions on this. Some believe it's his main purpose to deliver the Sunday morning message. Others believe that he's hired to do all the ministry in visitation, mentoring, counseling, so forth. There's a few that believe that he ought to be bivocational and he does not receive a paycheck, while some believe that he's the direct employee of the church. In our day and age, with the rise of the megachurch, he's viewed oftentimes as the CEO directing the staff in their ministry roles. And so we have all these different things. They're kind of floating around with their differences one way or another. And yet I believe that we need to understand that the Word of God teaches us some very valuable things about pastoring. There's two scriptures I'd like for us to look at. One you find in 1 Peter. I'll read that in a second. The others found the book of Acts, chapter 20. And listen to these words. Verse 28 says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." I want you to recognize that phrase, to feed the church of God. Secondly, as you have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 5, you notice in verse 1 it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereby." By the way, those two verses really combine the three avenues we mentioned last week of elder, bishop, and pastor. And taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I want you to notice especially the phrase in verse number 2 where it says, "Feed the flock of God." In those two passages, we find that there is a Greek word, and for what it means, poimenon, it is a word that is translated, of course, feed, but it means to shepherd. To shepherd and to feed are synonymous terms when we come to the Word of God. The word pastor itself comes from the Latin word pastor, which means, believe it or not, to shepherd. So we find that there is this thing called shepherding. It's not only true in the local church, but it's true in the family. It's true in so many walks of life. And so we can take these principles and we can make application in our own lives in other areas as well. But what do we mean by pastoring or shepherding? Where do we learn what that means? Well, one is we can go out of the field and we can watch a shepherd with his sheep and we can begin to get a basic knowledge of what they need, their need of feeding. They need to be tended to. They need guided. They need protected. All of those are tremendous needs of sheep. And would you not agree with me that we as sheep, we are in need of those things? But I believe there's a greater avenue or a greater place that we can find what God wants us to understand, and that, of course, is from His Word. Now, there's something unique about our God. God is our shepherd. In the book of Psalm, chapter 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I want to share with you tonight three very distinct times in the life of the Israelites, or should I say in the history of the Israelites, where God was very definitely their shepherd. And as we look at God, the shepherd, can we not also then begin to realize what a shepherd is? A number of years ago, I was teaching on the family, teaching on fathers and what they ought to understand about being a daddy. And I read something somewhere, and I was so impressed by it. I thought, wow. And what they were saying was basically this: God is our Father. Where could we find a greater illustration and understanding of fatherhood than to study our Heavenly Father? For there we can find it in its perfection. And certainly that be true of our divine shepherd. And so first of all tonight, I'd like for us to stop and think about the divine shepherd of the Exodus. We have a vivid overview of God shepherding Israel out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into their own land. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 77, it says this: "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Now notice how he says that. He says, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so we find God was the shepherd over Israel. And as a shepherd, we find, of course, first of all, he was very personally present. He was there amongst them. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, and the Bible says, "And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Moses is speaking to God. "For wherein shall it be known here that and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." What was his desire? For the presence of Almighty God. That presence that was very vivid to him. God gave him that presence. We find also that we see that he was their protector. He gave them protection. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, it says in verse 7 and 8, "And they spake unto all the company of children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord light in us, then we will bring us into this land, and a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. If God be for us, who can be against us?" We have his almighty protection. We find also that he sustained them. In Psalm chapter 78, verse 19 says, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" But listen what he says in chapter 105, verse 40. "The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river." God took care of them. He protects, he sustains, he is there constantly with them. We find also during that Exodus time that he took care of them with the greatest health care program on the face of the earth. Folks are so worried about that in the United States today, but God gave them health care. In chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. In Numbers it says, after they had sinned against God and complained, and the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God can take care of us. God can give us the health that he wants us to have. He led them unto himself. Listen to those words carefully. He led them to himself, which is very, very important. In Exodus 15:13 says, thou in thy mercy hast led forth a people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. What's God seeking? He's seeking to lead us into a closer walk and relationship with him. In Psalm 77:20 says, thou ledest thy people like a flock, as we mentioned earlier, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Hebrews 11:4 says, I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He brings us to himself. God is the good shepherd of his people. We find he did it through human shepherds of his own appointing, but nonetheless, God is truly the real shepherd. We find another time in the land of Egypt in the days of King David. And here we find the divine shepherd of the kingdom. God took David from shepherding sheep and made him shepherd of Israel. 2 Samuel 7:8 says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep goat, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. In chapter 78 of Psalms, verse 70-72 says, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following ewes great. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Though David was the one God used, it was God who really was the shepherd. David in the Psalm chapter 95 verse 7 says, he is our God, we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, marvelous that we have a great God of that kind. Other than a couple incidences, David led with tremendous integrity and obedience to the word of God. And so as we look at the time of the kingdom, we look at a shepherd that is leading with that kind. He's obeying God, following him with great integrity. On that, there were kings that led them not in integrity, but led them into idolatry, led them into injustice of God's law. And we find that God scattered them as a result. In Leviticus 26:33 says, I will scatter you among the heathen. I will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. So we have our Heavenly Father, our God, our great shepherd, as he shepherds Israel from the Exodus, as he shepherds in the time of the kings, especially King David. We see his actions. We see how he took care of them. We see that it was through integrity. But there's another time that's yet coming whereby we're going to see the divine shepherd. And I'll use the term the regathering. The Bible teaches us that he is going to gather Israel again. In Jeremiah chapter 23 says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increased. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to bring those who will do the shepherding that was not being done. In a parallel passage in Jeremiah 3:15, he says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. What are we seeing? We're seeing how a shepherd is to shepherd. And a great deal or a great portion of that shepherding is feeding the people. He's going to feed the people with the knowledge and the understanding of God's word. We find from the word of God that he is going to raise up a supreme shepherd, the great shepherd. The book of Psalm chapter 24 speaks of that very vividly. Jeremiah 23 verse 5 and 6 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Isaiah 40 verse 11, I believe referring to the same one. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Ezekiel 34 says, I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Interesting words describing shepherding in these verses. John chapter 10, verse 10, teaches us that that great shepherd is none other than Lord Jesus Christ. The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Praise God for our great shepherd. He is the pattern of true shepherding. What is true shepherding? Well, I believe we can say a few things along that line as we kind of analyze and look back over what we've looked at tonight. One, it's preaching and teaching good doctrine and also guarding against false doctrine. To Titus, the Apostle Paul wrote, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision. What's he saying? There's a lot of false doctrine, and so there must be that pure doctrine that is given forth that folks might understand. In the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul, as he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, yourselves, all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Listen to these words. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Great responsibility. Give forth the truth of God that we might show forth the right direction to go as opposed to all the voices that are out there. I tell you what, all you got to do is turn your television on and start going through some of the religious channels. Oh my goodness, you're going to find some things. and it can become very confusing. So there is giving forth the truth. I believe also the book of Hebrews teaches us something very important when it comes to shepherding. In chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." There must be a godly example. There must be that which can be followed in the life. It's more than the words that are spoken, but it's the life that is lived that becomes very important. I believe it behooves all of us to look at our lives and find out, are they consistent with the Word of God? We tell our kids, hey, you listen, you need to listen to God and follow God's Word and do it completely. And yet, we ignore its very principles ourselves and wonder why our kids are turning away from God as far as our nation is concerned. There needs to be that godly example. I believe also a portion of that is to equip for the ministry. In the book of Ephesians, it says, for the perfecting of saints, and it's referring to the offices, especially the pastor teacher, says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. One of the misconceptions about the pastor or of pastoring or shepherding is that folks think, well, it's his job to do different things. Actually, it's my job to show you how to do it. Seriously. Folks say, well, why weren't you at the hospital? Why weren't you? Oh, why didn't you visit this? Why didn't you? Find out this. Why didn't you? You see, we have a responsibility when we're given the truth of God and shown how to do some things, then to take those and to do those because we're equipped for the ministry. Very, very important. Also, we find in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, he's to direct the affairs of the church. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. By the way, that's their paycheck. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. He's talking about ruling. He's talking about having taking care of those kinds of affairs, those things that are there. And of course, then, also, I believe there's always the provision whereby you counsel, you help, you seek to encourage, you seek to be a part of their lives. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. I love those last words. Used to kind of chuckle with those, being patient toward all men. But oh, how thankful I am God is patient with me. And so really what it boils down to, a shepherd, though he leads a flock, is interested in each sheep. Concerned about each one of them. And as he deals with them, and a lot of that dealing, by the way, is going to be between he and God as he's speaking to God about you. And asking God to do some things. I don't know how this is related, but one of the things I've learned in the ministry, because God says we ought to be patient in our preaching, preach the word of God with long suffering, he says. And that means to suffer a long time. It means we got to endure. And what God wants to understand is something like this. And by the way, parents, it would be good for us to understand this. You know, we can, you know, somebody does something wrong, you can run and tell them off just boom, like that. And it probably won't do a whole lot. They'll know you're upset. But what's the greatest thing that can happen to a sheep? When he can learn himself. You teach the truth. You pray for different situations. When they come and ask for help and desire some counsel, by the way, you can't really give much counsel until somebody wants it. And when you're, available for all those things, But then when somebody, they've got a situation and they make the right choices, that's exciting. And then they've learned it themselves. The day came that I had to let go of my kids. Not all of them at once. Though there were times in the teenage years you wanted to just let go of them over a river somewhere. But as you let go and let them begin, like when they were toddlers and learned how to walk, they'd fall down, you'd be there to help them back up. And that's about it. And they fell down, but to see them get back up and to make choices, because now they're theirs, not daddy's. And that's what shepherding to me is really kind of all about. That we might go in the right direction. Amen? Alrighty. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer. And you can have some time of fellowship tonight. And then I got to go to my son and find out what in the world he's laughing about. And Doc is winking at me, so I think I know the problem. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. Thank you so much for being our great shepherd. Lord, I pray as a shepherd, as well as a sheep, you help me learn. I pray for each of us here tonight that though we're all sheep and yet we have our places of shepherding, help us to learn. Help us understand it's not cowboying. It's not driving. It's leading. It's like Jacob of old who said, I can't keep up with my brother. I have to lead him on softly. Lord, I pray that you just guide and direct in each of our hearts and lives. Bless the fellowship to follow. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.